This is a Real Ghost Stories Online Extra.
Matthew in Montreal here to thank you for the show. I find it very inspiring, finding correlations between stories and complete differences, but all under the flavor of what the heck just happened. The unexplained, the mysterious. I love it. It's fascinating to me. So maybe we'll never understand it in our lifetimes, ever, on this plane of existence. But it doesn't mean it's not fascinating and that we should not try, at least, to understand a fraction of it. So thank you for that. Your show is fantastic. I don't listen to any other podcast on the subject. And yours fulfills all my needs of stories about those things. So my story starts when I was 5 years old. I'm 38 now. I had a younger sister and a younger brother. So I was the eldest. And we moved into our first house after living for years in apartments. So finally we would have all the space that we needed. So it was great relief, great expectations, great fun ahead for all of us. On the first day of moving, I made my first friend. So it looked like it was going to be amazing. But in about 2 weeks, you know, about 2 weeks after we moved in, something happened. So every night, I had the habit of going down the stairs, because my bedroom that I shared with my little brother was on the second floor. There was a staircase that was closed off from the rest of the house with a small door. I mean, with a door with a small window. So the only light that came into that staircase was from the streetlights bouncing around the living room and a little bit of it filtering through the small window. So dimly lit staircase. Now, that could be scary for a lot of kids, but I wasn't scared because I loved the night. I loved the quiet. I loved the peace of it. I enjoyed it and I felt privileged to live in it when I was awake alone at night. So that's just an important part of the story here. So as I was going down the stairs that night, as every other night, you know, almost every night, going down to the washroom, I had my bathroom break about every middle of the night. I had my blankie with me because I carried it everywhere and I loved it. My grandma knitted for me. And, you know, one step at a time, you know, one foot down, the other foot down, you know, and then second step, one foot down, other foot. I really took my time because it was not a bladder emergency. I knew it was coming, so I woke up and slowly would make my way down to the washroom on the main floor. But that night, there were some noises coming from the walls, one wall in particular. And those walls were naked. There was nothing on them. They were just fake wood paneling. And the house was probably built a little bit before the 50s and redecorated in the 60s or something. I'm not an expert, but that's how I feel it was. And there was some kind of what I thought at first was smoke. It was bluish and it came from the wall. And it came out in the shape of something as if it was smoke coming from a heating vent. There was no heating vent that I could see. Maybe there was underneath the wood paneling, but if it was, it's not logical that the fog would come out in that shape because of the paneling. I never investigated that later. My parents would have frowned upon a five-year-old bashing the wall with a hammer, so I never even tried. But, as I saw and felt that smoke coming out, which did not smell like smoke, it was bluish, translucent, and, you know, at first, I didn't know what it was, so I wasn't scared, you know. But the noises, there were some noises coming from the walls at the same time. And as the fog got more concentrated and the shape was forming more precisely, so was the noise. The noise sounded very vague at first, like some kind of humming, mumbling. And then it sounded more like a voice, like someone was... But then eventually it was more like... like someone laughing with their mouth closed. So at that point, I had to ask because I was concerned. I don't want my family to be awakened by whatever or whoever that is. I mean, sleep is important. So feeling protective, I was like, who is it? And the thing gradually got louder and louder as it said, a ghost. A ghost. A ghost. Now, I'm in the middle of the park. It's about 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't want to wake up the neighbors and get the police on my case because I'm not supposed to be in the park. You know, in big cities, they prevent people from being in the park at night, which I find oppressive. Anyways, at that point, I'm terrified. I can see that face now clearly. I'm not kidding. It's a giant floating blue face with a sadistic expression on its face. Like, I'm going to hurt you and I'm going to enjoy every second of it. And I never met someone with that face on, but my instincts kicked in. I mean, I want to say that my parents never exposed me to anything that was that sort. I never saw a ghost movie or a horror movie of any kind. My parents were weary of my wild imagination. They did not want to fuel it too much, obviously. So I don't know how I understood that that thing was a threat, but I did, deep down. So I screamed. I mean, at that point, I had to wake up the family. I just screamed. I couldn't speak. I was hysterical. And, you know, I couldn't be stopped until they would shake me and say, "What's going on? What happened?" I explained. I told a story when I could catch my breath. And they were like, "Oh, you were just, it's just your imagination again. You were just sleeping. You're just sleepwalking again. You know, just go back to sleep and don't wake us up again like that." So I was, of course, frustrated, betrayed, angry at my family, because neither of my siblings nor my parents believed me when I said that I saw a ghost. And, you know, kids talk, so I knew what a ghost was, even though I never saw one on TV or anything. But from that moment on, I never saw a ghost again, and I'm 38. But I could feel them, and I still can, sometimes, if it's strong enough. I can't say that I'm a full-on medium or anything, but I can go to a place and have to go back. I have to step away and say, "I'm not getting in there, sorry." I'll tell you other stories like that later at another time. But yes, as an adult, it happened too. So from that moment on, it was like I had been triggered. I had been awakened to some other sense, and I could feel them, unfortunately, because at that point, I became the main and only target to these ghosts, who became my first bullies. Imagine being 5 years old, living in a house with your family who don't believe you. You're the only sensitive person there. And anytime you freak out, day or night, about being attacked by those things you can't see, they just tell you how annoying you are. And I'm shaking right now. Just the frustration is still there, and I'm 38. Parents should listen to their kids more when they say things like, "There's a ghost in my house, you know, there's a monster under my bed." Pay attention, at least, even if you don't believe. Don't make them feel like they're making stuff up when they are sure that they're not. Even if it's, I don't know, even if they were making it up, the feeling that somebody is supporting them can help them get through a lot of it. So just remember that if you're listening to that. And if you know somebody who's all no-nonsense about such things and don't believe, please help them understand. Try to tell them that, you know, the kids need to feel like they have support somehow, like they're not alone in this, that you're going to at least make an effort to understand and maybe investigate with them what it is. Because what if something happened? What if something more powerful than the average ghost who can't touch you physically would actually grab your kids and leave with it, you know, or harm them in any way? So it's up to us adults to try to, you know, be protective of our kids, of things visible or not, you know. Anyways, end of my speech. Yeah, so they bullied me day in and day out, inside and out of the house, backyard, side of the house, but never in the front yard for some reason. I only realized that years later. Nothing ever happened on the front yard for some reason. I wish I had realized that when I was still living there. It would have been a haven for me, but it never was because I didn't know. Anyways, what they would do is they would sneak up behind me, and despite not being able to touch me physically, they would make me feel like they could. So what they would do is, as soon as they came close enough, I would see an image in my mind. Even though they were behind me, I could totally see their long arms, impossibly long fingers, white, you know, dead fish belly colored skin. Imagine those long arms grabbing at you from behind. You can't see them with your eyes, but you see them in your mind. And they're grabbing onto your shoulders, like from atop, wrapping their long fingers in the front of your shoulders, and then slowly dragging or softly crawling up your neck to the side of it, and then pretend that they're strangling you with extremely cold arms and hands, as if they had been outside for 20 minutes in the winter of North America, Canada, for example, and came in really quick and tried to, you know, shock you with the cold. But that cold didn't go away. It just stayed as long as they touched you. So that's what they love to do, like one of the things they love to do. Sometimes their mere presence was enough to throw me into a panic, because I didn't know what else they were going to do. So again, they couldn't touch me physically, and I wish somebody would have told me. I wish I had understood that at the time, because I would have felt a lot more brave about being there and living there. But anytime I was alone in the room or outside, day or night, I would be susceptible to attack. It would take them a few seconds as soon as somebody left and I was the only one left there within eyesight or within reasonable walking distance, then they would attack within seconds. So I always found an excuse to follow someone out of the room or run someplace where there was anyone around. For some reason, they just could not attack if there was somebody around. Stranger or person I knew, didn't matter. As long as I was alone, it was free range for them. So that was frustrating. Their hot spots were, the main one was in the basement, and another one was around my bedroom. Because on one side of my bedroom was a closet, which connected to the attic that was made for insulation. You know, synthetic wool. And on the other side, opposite wall, was the attic where we would store things. And I had to go into both, of course, closet and storage area. So anytime I was asked to go there, I would freak out a little bit, but I had to force myself to do it, because my parents would if I didn't. So sleeping in that room was not peaceful. I eventually developed strategies to feel safer, and somehow, if you feel safer, then you are, for certain of those spirits. I discovered that over the years, after different kinds of experiences. If you feel confident, they don't have much power over you. At least most of them. I do believe that some are stronger and that they have more range, more access, more power, more something they can do to you. But those in that house, thankfully, were limited in what they could do, which was enough to, you know, traumatize me for life. So, anyways, besides the sneaking, they would just be around and make me feel their presence and make me see things in my mind. Again, I could not see them with my eyes at that point. I never could. I never saw another ghost in my life. I could feel them. I still can, if it's powerful enough. But you can hardly sleep. So when they're always there, even though I was sharing a room with my brother, as long as he was asleep, they had free range of my personal space. So I started to start sleeping with my bed sheets over my head, and I had a rosary. I'm not kidding. A glow-in-the-dark plastic rosary that my grandma gave me. I was religious back then, so prayer brought me a lot of comfort. I'm grateful for that, even though I'm non-religious anymore. I believe people should be able to think and do for themselves, as opposed to being told what to believe and what to do. But anyways, that's another speech. But as long as you feel safe, then you are. At least in those creatures' case. So I started sleeping with my bedsheets over my head, and I did until I was 16, even though that was years after we moved out of that house. I had to train myself away from that behavior because it was embarrassing. I could never go to sleepovers because I would be afraid of people mocking me for having to sleep with the bedsheets over my head all night. It felt like if they couldn't see my body, then I was safe in some kind of cocoon. So, stuff like that. I also had an opportunity once to learn woodworking very early on, because my father had a wood shop in the basement, and he decided to give me a great gift. He found all the tools for woodworking that were the size of a child's hands, but they were real tools, not toys. And he had wood for me, and he told me, if you learn to use these tools safely, I'm going to teach you how to use the wood lathe and all the other power tools. And I was very excited about that for a few seconds, until I realized my workshop area is in his workshop, which is in the basement, which was their hottest spot of those ghosts. Even when my father was there with me, if he started a powerful, noisy power tool, then it's like the noise was being some kind of cover for them and they could start attacking me again. I never understood why, but that's what happened. Anytime I was there in the basement, alone or with him, if there was noise. If I was alone, it could be quiet, it could be noisy, didn't matter. I could speak out loud, it wouldn't deter them. So because of that, and I begged my father, I said, can you please allow me to bring the wood stuff outside in the backyard? I promise to pick up after myself, I won't even leave a wood chip. He said no. He's a no-nonsense kind of guy, and he didn't believe in those things. So he said, no, you're going to work the wood in the wood shop or nothing at all. So I chose nothing at all. I never learned to do woodworking until just a few years ago. In my business, I'm a puppet maker as a living. Woodworking is a very important part of it, if you like that sort of thing, and I do. So I had a few decades of a delay because of a bunch of ghost bullies. Very frustrating indeed. So, yeah. All the time until I was maybe 11 when we moved out, which was a relief for me. When my parents divorced, I was not traumatized. I was relieved. I immediately realized that they can't afford to keep the house, not as single parents, so they're going to have to sell it, and that means we're moving out. So to me, that was a great relief, not counting also the fact that I knew for years that my parents were not, in love anymore. So that was great, you know. That was sad, but it was great for me because I wouldn't have to suffer anymore. So years later, my mother was a lot more open-minded about things. And there's a story I'm going to share with you in the future where she actually came through for me. So it's great to see that people are growing in different ways, even after their formative years. So yeah. Years and years of being bullied by a bunch of ghosts. I cannot deny that this happened to me, even decades after the fact, especially since I have reminders once in a while, little or big episodes of feeling the unexplained, the invisible, and the threatening without explanation. So I have other stories to share. I'm excited to be able to bring that to a new audience. Usually I tell that to people in person at parties and other conversation times, but sharing this with people of like mind, people who've lived things like that, or people who are just fascinated by it, it's a great relief. And I learn a lot from your stories, so thank you very much, everybody who's been sharing. I've barely scratched the surface of all the episodes, the free ones, the EPPs. So thank you so much, Matthew in Montreal.
If you want more real ghost stories and access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, become an extra podcast person, an EPP. Sign up now at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories.